at the start of the semester, I think it is always very important to begin well. So we all heard that if we begin well, then we will have higher chance of ending it well. So I don't know, because now it's just beginning. Your lessons haven't fully started yet, right? So I don't know whether at this beginning, how do you all feel? Do you feel recharged after a long holiday? You feel sian coming back to the stress and the workload? Or even at the second week already, are you like feeling a bit of deception? Why do I say deception? Because sometimes, because after being so relaxed for a long time, maybe not relaxed, you're working, internship, but you know, after being away from the campus living for a while, suddenly you come back here, all of a sudden the deceptive thoughts may flow in, like, you know, oh dear, there's so many things to do. I seem to have forgotten my previous semester's reading or work or theories, or I seem to be unable to catch up with my friends. You know, they seem to be even smarter after the holidays, or, you know, there's a lot of things to do but very little time, etc., etc. I mean, sometimes all these things may overwhelm us. And so that's why today I thought that it's important to be guarded against deceptive thoughts. So my title for today is Guard Against Delusions and Restore the Truth. So this is the title for today. So I know you all know that there's a lot of delusive teachings and culture in this world, but how sensitive are we to those things? Because we know that everything in this, okay, I shouldn't say everything, a lot of things in this world, the norms, the teaching, the beliefs, the practices, are actually planted there in a very cunning, subtle way by the devil to deceive us. And so, you know, sometimes even as Christians, if we are honest with ourselves, sometimes we cannot even distinguish or differentiate between what is right or what is wrong. Or we cannot tell whether this is our own perspective or this is pleasing to God. Many a times we cannot really differentiate. And, you know, sometimes because all along, we have been holding on to some of our own mindset, you know, the thinking that we have held all along since we are young up to now. And then we have certain way of doing things. And it's been with us for so long, it's like a part of us that sometimes we didn't really pause to think. Is that means our usual habit, our usual thinking, usual way of doing things, is that possibly even the deception also? You know, sometimes we thought, oh, you know, I need to plan like that. I need to do things this way, and it's always worked for me. So up to a point, we didn't even bother to check, is this really what God wants? Is this the way of God? Or is this, you know, Satan try to distract us? So this is something we need to double check, especially at the beginning of a semester. Because we are too prone to trust our own feelings, our sixth sense. And one thing we need to note is, you know, sometimes even if we are right in the worldly sense, meaning to say we may be right in our analysis, but we may not be right in God's eyes. Okay, because I say analysis because I know that, you know, a lot of undergrads, we all pride ourselves. Okay, sorry, I use ourselves. I've been a undergrad before. So being undergrad, we pride ourselves with what? Certain level of wisdom. We thought we can, to a certain extent, analyze things quite correctly and accurately and reasonably. So that's why we like to analyze a lot of things. You know, we like to analyze where we stand in comparison with our peers. We like to analyze, you know, how are we in control of things, etc., etc. So, but one thing we need to remind ourselves is, even if we may be right in our so-called human or worldly analysis, it may not necessarily be right in the eyes of God. Let me give you one example. I remember my previous boss, when I worked in prisons, this is my previous ex-CEO. You know, he was quite a skinny guy. Then, he's about my height lah or something. Then he said, you know what? He's a scholar, you know, then with scholarship from Singapore. So he can choose what scholar, you know, a lot of government department waiting for him to choose. So don't know why, I did not know that he's a Christian. So God impressed upon him. He read this verse from the Bible saying, you must set prisoners free. Wow, so he got this burning desire to be a prison officer. And he got peace. And then so he told his mother. And the mother said, you are so skinny, you want to be a prison officer, are you serious or not? You'll be beaten by them. And then so this ex-boss, he's very interesting. He said, well, when my mother's analysis seems to be very correct, right? I mean, I'm skinny. All these people, they are hunks, and then I went to prisons before. Wow, they, you know, if you go there, thankfully we have certain position. Otherwise, if they gang up at kill us and turn nasty, it's quite scary. But then my boss said, it is true that I'm skinny, but it's not true that I may be beaten up. So, you know, a lot of times we analyze, but we also need to discern. Some things are true and cannot be changed for that moment, but some things haven't been proven. And it seems to be true, there's a possibility to be true, but it may not be true. So it's very important to be able to discern, to guard against the delusive and the truth, and to guard against something that is possible but not absolute, versus something that is never changing. So in campus also, there's a lot of all these similar scenario, you know. Sometimes you say, die lah, you know, I've not been catching up. You know, die lah, you know, my teacher is so harsh. You know, die lah here and there. You know, die lah, I still have to come to this fellowship where I have no time to do my homework. You know, a lot of things. But we need to be very clear in our heart. What is true and never changing? And what is seemingly true, but it may not be so, because God is the one who is ultimately in control. So I want to urge those wise people here. I always call you all wise. Only in school I call you all wise. In church, in church, I hardly call you all wise, right? No, lah. So, because of the context. So, you know, even though we can analyze a lot, but we need to know only what God says is true and always true. So today let's read from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17 to 24, and then verse 5 and chapter 5 also. So we first look at Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. So I tell you this, verse 17, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to what? Due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. And verse 20 is a turning point. So 17 to 19 talks about non-believers. But verse 20 is the turning point, the switch for the Christian. That, however, is not the way of life you learn when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So even in the campus, there needs to be a distinction between people of the world versus students who know God in the campus. And verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by what? By its deceitful desire. So later on, we will look at how does this deceiving spirit work in human life. And verse 23, so instead of being deceived, we should be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, now we jump to chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. Okay, chapter 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. Okay, so right at the beginning of a new semester, be careful how you live. Be careful how you think. Be careful what you treasure in your heart. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. And we often heard that this verse in 16, in King James Version, it's redeem time. Because it's also very likely in campus, or we may lost time, you know, worrying, or lost time having fun, distracting ourselves. Because what? Because the days are evil. So you need to redeem your time. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. Meaning to say, do not get drunk on the worldly influences, on what people tell you, on the worldly culture, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. So that's why, you know, speaking to one another. In order not to be deceived, in order to be wise, we need this kind of gathering. Because when you speak to one another, you are reminded of the wisdom. You are reminded of truth. And then verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so today we will ponder upon a few things. So the thing is, what is the work of the delusive spirit? So from the verse, it tells us three key areas in which the deceiving, delusive spirit deceive us. So first, this delusive spirit, it makes our thinking futile. So just now, we read, in verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17, the futility of their thinking. Okay, so, yeah, as I said, undergrads think a lot, right? The thing is, what is futile thinking? Okay, this is a very easy question. Huiping, what is futile? You know, psychology think a lot on the mind. So, what is futile thinking? Okay, like Gentiles. So, how do the Gentiles think? Okay, so, do their desires have any recognition for God? No, right? So, futile thinking is anything that is, no matter how smart, no matter how reasonable, but futile thinking is any thoughts that disregard God, didn't consult God, only based on human wisdom, intelligence, resources, analysis, just like my ex-boss, non-Christian mother. So, what they propose, what they observe, seems to be very true and reasonable, and that's why we are affected. I mean, if it's not reasonable, we are sane, right? How would we be influenced by things that is not logical at all? And because those are logical, so the thing is, futile thinking is the devil's or the deceptive spirit's way of using very practical things, very relevant things to instill fear in people, and to draw people's attention from God. But in one summarized statement, futile thinking are thinking that has no God in the picture and doesn't consider eternity. So they only are interested in the here and now, the present life. So it sounds all very logical. You need to fight for your future. You need to prepare for your retirement. You need to build a bright future for yourself. All this concerns the here and now, this life. But the thing is, when a person lives without God and without the eternal mindset, the truth is, what he's planning for, what he's chasing after, are just very temporal and earthly. In other words, no matter how good a person can perform in his studies, no matter how much success, satisfaction, or love he can get from the relationship around him, it is futile. Okay, you all should know what's the meaning of futile, right? This is just English. Futile means it amounts to nothing. Futile means, and what's the sad thing about futility is, you gain everything. You pursue a lot of things. You put in a lot of effort to get something in order to lose it. That's the saddest thing. If you didn't even invest, if you didn't even fight for something, if you didn't even focus on pursuing something and you didn't get it, then that's natural. I mean, there's nothing much to be sad over because you didn't even try. But futility is when you tried your best, you think you will gain, but ultimately, you lose everything. So people without God, they invested their whole life trying to make a name for themselves, trying to build a happy family, but in order to lose it. Because no matter how, yes, you may say, some people, they really without God, and they try to build a happy family, and they indeed have a very happy family. But in the end, for eternity, they are lost in hell. They cannot enjoy that bliss, and they only can see each other suffer. So this is futility. This is ending in vain. And so when the delusive spirit deceives people, it makes people not even care about where their heart is going. They don't even care. My heart, is it going towards heaven? Is it nearer the Father's heart? Or is it going towards destruction? They don't care. They just want to feel good right now. So the Bible says their planning, their thinking are all going to be in vain. It's a wild goose chase. And so this is the first thing that people, the devil, the deceptive spirit attack, is the mind. It makes people, like what yesterday, if those of you attended this DT, like what people, pastor also said, it makes people not interested in God. They attack the mind. So I don't want to think about God. I just want to think about things that interest me. But I'm not interested in God. But when we are without God, we know the never-changing principle is, if we are without God's support, how can anything stand? So this is the first thing. Second, the delusive spirit, how does it affect people? It hardens. So just now we also read, it hardens people's hearts. So you see, the mind, this is the mind, then this is the heart. So if you realize, you know, after thinking in a futile way for a long period of time, what's the natural consequence? You realize your heart will start to harden. It's like after our mind is blocked for a significant amount of time, gradually our heart will grow cold, grow indifferent towards God. We cannot be stirred by God, or even we cannot even feel God's reproach anymore. So, meaning to say, how does a hardened heart work? Meaning to say, the person will increasingly become more and more self-focused, self-centered. When we are in between, it's still good in a way to feel a bit reproach, rebuke or accused when we are a little bit far away from God. But you know, hardened heart not just happen to Gentiles, even though the Bible says, you know, these are the Gentiles' way, futile thinking, hardened heart. The Gentiles' heart, of course, is hardened until a very severe degree. But can Christians' heart be hardened? Are there moments where you also feel hardened? You know, Christians, sometimes we can be deceived also that we are momentarily hardened in our hearts. And how do we do that? We go back to our old way of thinking. We go back to our old way of habit, our old way of dealing with things. And that's why Paul is urging the believers, do not be like the Gentiles. Do not go back to be how you were last time. You know, sometimes Christians, sometimes we got so distracted and disheartened by God. You know, He's not answering my prayer. So we get a bit fed up with God. And we say, okay, God, since so our mind start to be deceived as, God, you don't love me. God, you don't listen to my prayer. God, you don't help me when my assignments are getting so tough. God, you didn't relieve my stress. You know, we start to have the wrong thinking. We think that God is away from us. He doesn't care about us. And then slowly you notice when our thinking becomes futile, our heart starts to reject and be a bit resistant towards God. And that's how we become hardened. And for Christians, if our heart starts to become hardened, even if Christians get to hear the word of God, you realize you hear already, but you don't reflect upon it. You don't let the word of God stir you. You know, some people, they listen to God with two attitudes. You know, sometimes the word of God challenges them, but they are willing to let the word challenge them. They are willing to let the word of God make their heart uncomfortable. That is not so bad, you know. At least they can bear with the discomfort. They want to struggle. They want to battle their flesh with the spirit. But some Christians, when their heart starts to harden, any little bit of discomfort that God's word gives their heart, they reject. You know, no, this one is not something I like to hear. So we need to be careful about this hardening of the heart. Because why? God's discipline and God's judgment will surely come to a hardened heart. Let me tell you this. I've been a Christian long enough, and I see that one spiritual principle is quite true. No matter how weak we are, no matter how limited we are, as long as our heart is not hard towards God, God always have mercy on us. But I see that no matter how a person is capable, is eloquent, is been a Christian for a long, long time, but whenever a person's heart is hard, God's discipline always comes to that person. If the person is a non-Christian, it will be judgment. If the person is a sheep of God, is a child of God, he will face discipline. So our one great prayers we need to pray is to guard against a hardened heart. It's okay to be weak. It's okay to have certain challenges, but don't let our heart grow hardened towards God. And so this is the second thing. And the third thing that the delusive spirit will do is to make a person, okay, this is too long, lose all sensitivity, how to spell, okay, sensitivity, and indulge in all kinds of impurity. So this is from the verse we read just now. So you realize this is a what? Anybody notice a trend? Wei Xiang? Engineering should be good with trends, right? So what's the trend? And you notice any trend? From number one to number... Yeah. I won't ask you all too hard questions. My question won't be harder than your lecturer. So yeah, it's getting worse. You know, anything in the mind is still salvageable, right? We always say, you know, if you're thinking something, but at least you don't commit the offense. So it gets worse and worse. You know, the mind first gets deceived. So we need to understand the strategies of our enemy. He didn't jump. No, I mean, sometimes he jumped immediately to the action part. But we need to understand, before any action is manifested, the mind is attacked first, then the heart got affected, and then it's carried out in actions. So when a person continues to, you know, toy with deception, let the devil play around with his mind, with his heart, you know, he will come to a stage, you know, what does it mean by lose sensitivity? When you read the Word of God, you understand his the essence of it? Lose sensitivity means the person cannot even differentiate anymore between what is right and what is wrong. You know, he will start to rationalize. This is not a sin. This is not, this is okay. You know, God should understand I'm very busy. Even if I don't pray, it should be fine. You know, lose sensitivity, because it will seem very reasonable to the person. You know, it's all right if I am angry with God since he didn't give me my prayer answers. You start to think that something is not appropriate, but you see that as okay. So that's what's meant by lose sensitivity. So when a person has been deceived to a point that, you know, he already cannot tell what is okay, what is right, or what is wrong. And lose sensitivity to a stage of indulgence means what? Means a dangerous thing has happened. Means the person has started to open his heart to welcome any form of deception from the devil, to indulge in temptation, to indulge in the doubts that the devil hurls at the person. So, you know, indulge is opposite from what? Okay, see, indulge, behind we say every kind of impurity. Let me ask you, can a spiritual Christian be vulnerable to sin? A spiritual person, spiritual Christian, can he or she be vulnerable to sins and temptation? Again, this is not very difficult. So, Qiao Yi, I haven't asked you any question. It's a spiritual. So, okay, I proud a bit. Can I be vulnerable to temptation and sin?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Such a loud yes. Okay. Thanks for. Okay. So, but what's the difference between? Okay. So, can you tell me also? A spiritual Christian, when he or she is faced with temptation and sin, what is the difference between his reaction versus someone who indulged? Okay, at least something like that. Go back to the Word of God, God's Word, remind him, and then you will fight the temptation. So it's very different from indulge. So you see, I'm not saying that spiritual Christian, we surely will not be affected, you know, I will not be tempted. No, spiritual Christian will also be tempted to grumble, to lose heart, to be stressed when the school homework pile up, to lose our temper when we've got too much to do and people keep irritating us, you know, our parents keep giving us things to do when we have to study. You know, we also may get bad-tempered. We also may grumble, but we will resist. But when a person is deceived, they lose all sensitivity. They lose the heart to fight the temptation, the sin. They just indulge. I want to throw my temper means I want to throw temper. All of you don't know I'm very stressed about my studies. So they just, you know, anyhow lose their temper, thinking they are entitled, you know, to, for example. So they just indulge. And so this is something that is very scary and dangerous. You know, if you still have the heart to fight temptation, it is still okay. It's still blessed. You are still well protected. But when we lose any heart, we just let loose. This is very scary, because when we open, that means we have opened our heart to welcome all insinuation, all temptation, all the work of the deceptive spirit to just kill us, consume us. And so that is very scary. And so, all these are the work of the deceitful spirit. And because of this deceitful spirit's work, we need to, of course, like my title today, we need to go back to the truth of God. So there's three important things I want to say about this second point, which I hope you can remember well. So, first, it is not about not being, such a long statement, not being deceived, but about going back to the truth. Okay, can anyone understand what this statement means? When I read this, I was thinking, does it sound a bit complicated? Okay, so when we say go back to the truth, the one secret, one thing is do not, it's not just about not, it's not just worrying about not being deceived, but it's about going back to the truth. No, sometimes we worry too much. Ah, are we being deceived? Oh, we know that's the work of the devil, so we must not get ourselves deceived. But the truth is, everyone will be deceived every now and then. More or less, and to a larger or lesser extent, all of us, all fallen humans, we will face deception. Even pastor, even preacher, we will face deception. But it's not just about not being deceived. But what God is looking for is when we are deceived. When something that is not fitting with the truth comes to us, do we entertain that lie? Do we play with that lie? Do we engage that lie? You know what's engaging the lie? Like Eve, you know, when the devil kind of tell her, you know, are you sure this is what God say? Are you sure this is what will happen to you when you eat the fruit? Already she should know this is different from God's word. You know, it's not the truth. So in her heart, truth is not of the highest weight. She engaged the lie of the devil. So sometimes for us, it's not about us not getting deceived, because the truth is we'll be deceived all the time. Even when you're very spiritual, you'll be deceived all the time. But it's about, God is looking at what? God is looking at when we face deception, when we face lies, do we still go back to the truth? And that is what God looks for the most. Do we still hold all the more tighter to the truth? Or do we want to play with the lie? And so what is the truth? The truth is the promises of God that the whole Bible keeps telling us, that God, He still loves us. He's still with us. He still helps us. And His plans will never fail. So that is the truth. So His truth tells us something that we cannot lose. And what is something that we cannot lose? His word, His promises, and our identity. You know, whether I pass my exam with A or C, whether I graduate with whichever class of honors, you're going to graduate soon, right? You know, is it this year or next year? Next year. Okay. Graduate with first class honors or third class honors or no honors. One thing never changed. No, I'm not trying to scare you. This is something I told myself the last time. Because for your case, you're straight away go 4 years study. For my case, in my era, people graduate third year. So officially graduate, but I sign up for one more extra class of honours. So I'm thinking to myself, if I sign up extra year and waste my mother's money and I get a no honours, then what am I doing? I wasted 1 year. So the stress is even more because this is unusual. That time in my era, I need to sign up for extra years. But for y'all, it's a natural progression. It's everyone 4 year, right? Everyone direct honours, right? So I was very worried. What if my mother say, you study, you hang on another year, didn't earn money to support me. In the end, still the same. I don't know how to answer her. So, but the thing is, one thing never changed. Whether we get no honours, first class honours, our identity in God never changed. So, it's not about not being deceived. It's about holding on to God's truth. And so, for example, let's say really I have no honours after staying back for one more year. But we still have to believe, even if that happens, God must have a reason. Because God loves me, because God's word says redeem time. So if time is so precious to me, and I'm a child of God, and God allowed me to waste my 1 year of youth doing that one extra year of study, and in the end I have no honours, then He must have a very good reason for wasting my time. And so that doesn't apply to my studies. You may be laughing, you really got your honours. But the thing is, for my relationship last time, it's like that. You know, some of you know, but I wasted 5 years with a man, and then I broke up. So I'll be thinking, you know, youth is especially precious to girls. I don't know about guys, but CJ told me, for guys, you know, it's fine. You know, we get married at 40 years old, still considered very young. Well, I don't know, he's trying to show off to me or what. But for girls, right? From my 20 to 25 years old, it's very critical youth period for me. So I was thinking, I broke up at age 25. So I'll be thinking, God, why you waste my precious 5 years? That's my most beautiful, supposedly, most beautiful years. And after age 25, I start to be packed in the retiring, expiring shelf or don't know what. So I said, God, why you waste my precious year? But God has a... So that one, I can say, it's real life story. It's not hypothetical. So I look back. Not about not being deceived. It's about the truth. The truth is, if God wants me to redeem my time, My 5 years is precious. He gave me valuable, lifelong lessons. Humility, following God, only God is my treasure, not any man. All these valuable lessons I learned through that 5 years of so-called wastage. But it's not wastage. So we need to hold on to the truth, no matter what. And God is seeing that. God doesn't judge us when we are being deceived. But God wants us to hold on to the truth even when lies come. Because without the truth is you cannot move on. So without God's truth, we cannot have the strength to face anything. Because without God's truth, today, even if we are successful, we'll be packed with a different worry. You know, we may be afraid of losing that success or whatever. Okay, so this is the first thing about holding on to the truth. Second, it's not about, so I use the negative to talk about positive. It's not about lamenting when what happened, when we fail. But it's about keep doing the right thing. So, young brothers and sisters, remember this. You know, we always like to lament when things go wrong, when things fail. This is a sort of like a natural human reaction. But we need to know, same thing. I believe everyone failed before. Don't tell me you never failed before. When you learn walking, surely you fell before. So everyone failed before. But you don't know what is worse than failing. Huiping, what is worse than failing? I mean, people think, wow, it's a disaster to fail. But what is worse than failing? Not going back to God, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's true. Weixiang, what is worse than failing? Huh? Don't know why you fail, huh? Okay, that's also right. So, tell you, what do you think? All are correct. Wow, you have a lot of critical thinking, huh? Okay. Yeah, what is worse than failing is, after failing, we keep getting deceived again and again. And what do I mean by that? You know, some people, failing is already quite terrible. But after failing, they remain in self-groaning, they cannot pick themselves up, or they start to blame people and get into... So from one problem, maybe it's just one, maybe it's a problem of the task, but it developed into interpersonal relationship issues. So the problem spreads. So, or, you know, what's some reaction of failure is, you know, we keep brooding over it and we lose sleep, lose peace. We lose even faith in God. So that is examples of being deceived again and again, after failure. So, as I say again, it is common to fail because who are we? We are fallen, limited humans. But what is worse than failing is, after failing, we allow ourselves to get deceived again and again. Actually, what we need to do is keep doing the right thing. So, for example, if you feel that we didn't study well enough last semester, how many of you, after looking at results, okay, I think you all quite looks very happy. How many of you, after looking at results, you think, last semester I didn't study well enough. Or you think, last semester I studied too well. Okay, no. So, if, let's say we feel, you know, I think I didn't study well enough. I waste my parents' money. I think you all seldom think this way, right? Or mostly we think, I didn't do myself a favor. But if we think we didn't study well enough, then we just pick ourselves up and ask God, cry to God to help us study better this semester. Or you know, sometimes as we talk to our friends, we think we have spoken the wrong thing, we say something to disglorify God, or we say something to hurt our friends, or we say something that leaves a foothold for the devil. Then we just pray, repent, and then ask God to give us wisdom to say the right thing again. Or if we feel like we cannot love people, you know, we've been nasty to someone or not loving enough, we just love the person with a sincere heart again. So the thing is, what does it mean by holding on to the truth? The truth will always direct us to do the right thing. No, that's the purpose of the truth. I mean, the truth is not just knowledge. I mean, what good is it if it remains as a knowledge? So truth is not merely to give us knowledge of what is right or wrong. God's truth is powerful such that, you know, when you hear it, when you're stirred by the truth, it will direct you to do the right thing. So when we want to, so what does it mean by holding on to the truth? You know, some people, they hold on to the truth. Then they try to carry out the truth. Then when they think that, the truth is so high standard, so hard to fulfill, so hard to obey, and they keep failing, then up to a point they say, this is not my cup of tea. This is for the Holy One to do it. For me, I just live the worldly way. You know, they just give up. But holding on to the truth means, even if we fail, do not remain in lamentation. I mean, you can lament for a while, that's human reaction, but don't keep lamenting. But keep doing the right thing, and God is faithful. When you keep doing the right thing, God will let you see evidence. Okay, and then the third is, it's not about one time success. So holding on to the truth is not, so after I talk to you about this and this, so you not lament anymore, you do the right thing. But it's not about one time success. You know, some people, they get so high, wow, I love someone who hurt me, I go and say hello to my enemy, wow, they feel very happy about doing that. And then after that, they let loose again. So it's not just about one time success. You know, some people say, wow, I thank God, you know, this particular exam, I put down myself, I pray to God, and God helped me score well. But then after that, when he scored well again, wow, I start to feel I'm quite smart, huh? I can understand a lot of things and start to rely on his own wisdom again. So it's not about one-time success. It's about continuous obedience. This is what God is looking for. You know, true faith means what? True faith means, true faith is related to continuity. True. You know, if it's fake, not fake. I mean, if it's a one-off obedience, you cannot tell is it a real or fake true faith. You know, Judas also followed Jesus for 3.5 years. But he never stick to the end. So if there's no continuity, you cannot be sure is it a true faith. So, when we want to hold on to the truth, God will impress upon our heart to pray that, God, you give me the strength to keep walking the right path. Even though walking the right path is very tough. Is it tough to repeat? No, today you rely on God. Today you're God-driven. So today you succeeded. Is it easy tomorrow? It's not easy. Tomorrow you wake up very tired. You're in a rush. There's a high tendency to fall back to human means again. So, to rely on God over and over again, to die to ourselves and let God increase, let God shine in our life, is not so easy. So we need to pray that God help us continue in doing the right thing. And, you know, when the person has this continuity, then it can prove that his life is grounded on sustainable truth, that this truth has become the foundation of his life. Okay, when we say that the truth or the word of God has become a foundation of your life, what does it mean? Foundation means it's unshakable. But what is a lot of time very easy to shake? Our emotions, our thoughts, our mood. All this swings very easily. So let's say, if a person holds on to the truth a lot, will the person depend on his mood to decide whether I want to pray today, to decide whether I want to evangelize today, to decide whether I want to attend church today? Just like, you see, if a parent gives birth to a baby, you know, sometimes the parent may be tired, but if this is my baby, it's already grounded in my mind that this is my baby, I am the caretaker of this baby, whether the mother feels she wants to do it or she don't have the mood to do it, she will still have to feed her baby and take care of the baby. So same thing, we are child of God. Our identity is connected with God. And if this already sink into our mind that apart from God, I can do nothing. If this is already sink in my mind that to flourish, I need to obey God. And if this is sink inside us already, then we will not base on our mood to see whether we want to pray or we don't want to pray. Whether we want to attend Bible study, even though, are so far away, at very late hour, instead of depending on our mood, we will depend on our need, and we will depend on the truth. Because the truth is, we need spiritual food to guard our hearts. We need spiritual fellowship to preserve our mindset from being futile. We need reminders every now and then, because our heart is most deceitful above all. So someone who holds on to the truth is not just a one-time success, but there will be evidence of continuous faith. Okay, so this is, actually I have a third point, but I think I look at the time. It was supposed to be 20 minutes. Huh? So okay, so today only 2 points. I will save it for next week. So key thing is lies and truth. We need to be aware. Actually, right from the beginning, when you start this semester again, it is important to guard our heart and be prepared first that a lot of things you see happening in this campus could be traps, could be lies, could be delusion. A lot of times, so remember my ex-boss example. Sometimes people tell you, or you get your own impression, skinny, beaten. So sometimes you look at yourself, look at your condition, you get certain hints, or you have certain analysis. If I follow God, what is left for me? If I devoted this amount of time to God, then I have lesser time for my studies, I have lesser time for my friends, I have lesser time to play, then I lose out. You know, there's a lot of conflicting deception that is against the truth, against the heart to follow God. But remember, the devil works in a very cunning way. He first creeps into our mind, then slowly get our heart, then it becomes the action. And then, but the thing is, hold on to the truth. Because it's not about being deceived or not, because everyone gets deceived. Important is, go back to the truth. And then, when you fail to carry out the truth, hold on to the truth or believe the truth, don't worry about the occasional failure. Just keep doing the right thing. And when you fall and you do the right thing again, God will co-work with you to preserve you. And it's not just about one-time success, but pray to God that we will have continuous success throughout our semester. So as just now I mentioned, start well and well. And so today, our message will stop here. So I pray that we will resist the lies and embrace the truth.